Deuteronomy 27. Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, "Keep all these commands that I give you today. When you have crossed the Jordan into the land the Lord your God has given you, set up some large stones and coat them with plaster. Write on them all the words of this law when you have crossed over to enter the land the Lord your God has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. And when you have crossed the Jordan, set up these stones on Mount Ebal, as I have commanded you today, and coat them with plaster. Build there an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. Do not use any iron tool upon them. Build the altar of the Lord your God with field stones and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. Sacrifice fellowship offerings there, eating them and rejoicing in the presence of the Lord your God. And you shall write very clearly all the words of this law on these stones you have set up." Then Moses and the priests, who were Levites, said to all Israel, "Be silent, O Israel, and listen. You have now become the people of the Lord your God. Obey the Lord your God and follow his commands and decrees that I have given you today." On the same day, Moses commanded the people, "When you have crossed the Jordan, these tribes shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these tribes shall stand on Mount Ebal to pronounce curses: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levites shall recite all the people of Israel, recite to all the people of Israel in a loud voice, 'Cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of the craftsman's hands, and sets it up in secret.' Then all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary stone." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the man who leads the blind astray on the road." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the man who withholds justice from the alien, the fatherless, and the widow." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the man who sleeps with his father's wife, for he dishonors his father's bed." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the man who has sexual relations with any animal." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the man who sleeps with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the man who sleeps with his mother-in-law." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the man who kills his neighbor secretly." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the man who accepts a bribe to kill an innocent person." Then all the people shall say, "Amen." "Cursed is the man who does not uphold the words of this law by carrying them out." Then all the people shall say, "Amen."
So what have you learned? Yes.
People should say amen.
Yes, people say amen.
Good.
What does amen mean? It's an old English word meaning "so be it," or "bring it about," or we will institute what it says. We'll carry out the function of what it says. All right. Anything else? No more learning?
Well, it's really quite interesting. They go through this thing of not dressing the stones, yet then they plaster them.
Well.
Oh, yes.
Your version says plaster, but it says whitewash with lime.
With lime,
which is not plaster.
Right.
Lime in itself is not a plaster, and lime is actually more of a washing solution, it's a very harsh washing solution. And it's saying whitewash them. So
in other words, whatever they're going to write on it, it would be easily visible.
Right. So it's actually.
Remember, they would have carved into them with a.
It's like an acid wash.
Almost, yeah. It's a very harsh.
Yeah.
And if they were following kind of going along with Egyptian artistic techniques, they would carve it and paint it, which is typical.
Possible. Yeah, that's possible. But I don't. It's interesting here. I agree with you.
So, to me, that's almost kind of a discrepancy in translations there.
Yeah.
One says to whitewash it, which is basically, it's almost like bleaching the rock. Mm-hmm. Where the other is saying plastering it, which is covering the rock, and it's not intact.
It's only these stones, the ones that to be placed there.
Well, they're going to stand out. I mean, obviously, this is a memorial, and if you whitewash them, they're going to be pretty obvious.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be unnaturally clean.
Yes.
And you'd have to keep them constantly clean every now and then.
Right.
Okay. Every now and then they have to be kept up, maintained. Any more questions? Questions or question?
I just have a question. Why? Because this says this, when David's son tricked his sister into taking care of him when he was sick so that he could assault her, why didn't his dad do something about that? Because it was obviously openly against the law.
Okay. What does it tell you then?
That David didn't do anything about it.
He didn't institute the law. Remember what Daniel said about the prophets. All right. From this point onward, when you go to Judge Joshua all the way through all the prophets, it is these are how they lived. Some of them carried out, and some of them didn't. And so it's not necessarily we're going to see a, quote, completely righteous man, end of quote, throughout the entire writings of the prophets. You're going to find those prophets not fulfilling what they should fulfill, and or not prophets, but the subject matters who they are talking about and talking to. That's why a prophet comes on the scene, is to remind them of and to instruct them of what the Torah had to say in the first place and to carry it out. And that's why you have, theoretically, in today's society, you would have to have certain men who would be able to know that the Torah said, if that was idealistically correct, okay, and then they would come up and they would then begin to teach and instruct what the king should do, what the people should do. And basically that's what happened. But remember Daniel said about prophets? That's how they made a living. Okay, they weren't just out there, oh, I'm going to go prophesy, and they're going to do something else. They actually got income from or got paid for doing their function. Not all prophets got a good wage. It depends upon who wanted to listen to them, I would suppose, is the best way to look at it.
Does that go back to the don't muzzle an ox while he treads the grain?
Yes. It's one of the many interpretations thereof.
Yeah, maybe to answer Ellie's question a little bit, you know, in this specific situation with Tamar and Ammon, one of the reasons that David may not have acted the way we would expect him to is the Torah specifically says you have to have multiple witnesses. If there were not multiple witnesses to the situation, then there would have been no punishment, at least not the most severe punishment that there would be for, you know, a rape or an incest situation. So if you don't have the multiple witnesses, then what are you going to do?
He got her aside alone. Yeah.
And remember the Torah says if she agrees with it, he is not guilty of that.
Or if she did scream or didn't scream, nobody knew.
Well, apparently someone knew because someone wrote it down. I don't know who wrote it down, but somebody wrote it down.
There is another difference in his translation to this one. His said field stones, and this one was talking about whole stones. Field stone is actually a type of stone, where it's not necessarily indicating a type, but more so a whole stone. In other words, one not broken.
Correct, and more than likely a flat stone, not a round one. So you would have to hold it up there, and you'd be able to see what's written down there.
That's speculation.
Yeah. Because back in that particular area, they didn't have It's all different kind. Have you ever been in Israel? There's all different kinds of stones. I mean, they're really natural stones. And sometimes they look like they've been carved by man, but not. They're actually kind of look like they've been made that way. Yeah, it's really a fascinating world. Different kind of earth over there, I guess you might say, than we have here. Yeah. So, don't like where I'm at in Rincon Valley there. It's stones that come from a volcano. So we have volcano rock. That's all we have. And it's really hard to dig down to that stuff. But it's porous, a different kind of its material. And then a few hundred yards away, or 200 yards away, there's another kind of stone that's completely flat and very heavy, but it can be broken real easy. So I created the stones. I don't know which ones he would use. But I'm assuming it'd be a pretty hard stone. That's what I'm thinking it would be.
Well, steel and chisel on something, it's got to be fairly tough. At least thick.
Well, yeah, it's an assumption. But see, we don't have the tools that would carve into things like that. They probably naturally had them with no problem. We can't picture ourselves pounding it away, but that's what they did for a living. You know, that's how they worked. A young man was probably a whole lot stronger in those days than a young man is today, because they did physical and hard work. They didn't go and sit at a computer like I do.
Trying to fill their spare time and watching TV.
It's very interesting, the very first day, but they pay attention here, because, you know, what happens is Moses doesn't stand out there and shout and scream and yell. He basically is telling the elders of Israel what we have from first book of first chapter of Deuteronomy all the way to this point here. So he's actually telling the elders of Israel, and they go and they tell their people what Moses got to say. They didn't have a big, huge loudspeaker and supersonic movements of sound at rapid speeds with amplification with 100 megawatts or whatever. They had to use their transportation from one person, next person, next person. That's why they would use shofars to tell the time what's going on, because that's how they would get information back and forth. But now they're ready to cross over. Now, it's very fascinating with this little thing about the crossing over. We've always heard him say this. He repeats himself several times. When you're ready to cross over, you do this, you do that, do this, you do that, you do this, do that. Now, this particular time, he said, now, when you cross over, Jordan, I want you to do something. I want you to whitewash some stones, and I want you to put the Torah on it. That's what the Hebrew word says. Now, how many commandments are there?
300 and some.
They didn't put them down. I mean, they didn't put down all those down. Because he repeats himself over and over and over again. There's a basic fundamentalness of the law that we have to see here. Now, it's very fascinating. He says, now when you go over there, this is what's going to happen to you. That the nations will, actually, next chapter, nations will see how strong you are, how powerful you are, and how well off you are if you follow the word of God. Before he says that, he comes in and he says, now I want you to be the curse. Remember Daniel gave the information about Mount Gibal and Mount Gerizim? What was the characteristic between the two mountains, remember?
Ebal was like the desolate, rocky, kind of ugly-looking place. And Gerizim was the beautiful, lush place.
Now, you know, they weren't very high mountains. They would not climb to the very top. They would climb up to a plateau or to a level. And remember he said he found out on the site that there really was. They dug down deep enough. They really found a...
Altar.
Very large, large altar. It was very fascinating to know that's where the place we go. When you start thinking about it, this is where probably the stones were laid that had the whitewash and the commandments on it, or at least not the commandments, but the Torah on it. We'll talk about what do you think was on those stones?
Ten Commandments.
So what?
I just said the words of this law.
Which I can
What is he commanding them right now? I command you today that you do this to these stones. What are you going to do to these stones? You're going to write some teachings upon them, because that's what the Torah means. Teachings, or some words, some statements, or some clarifications of words.
Blessings and curses.
There are 12 things listed here. 12 things listed here as curses. Now, let's take a look at them for a moment. So we know, cursed is the one who treats his father and mother with contempt. Oh, sorry, not cursed. The Levites are to say this, by the way. Verse 15. Cursed is the one who makes a carven image and an abomination of the Lord, the work of the hand of craftsman, and sets it up. What?
In secret.
In secret. It's a very interesting phrase. All right. And that has to do with what command? If you look at the Ten Commandments.
Have no other God before
me. No.
Thou shalt not make unto thee any
engraven images. So it's kind of like one of those 10, but it's not the first one, is it? It's really kind of the second one. And every man will say, amen. Cursed, verse 16, cursed is one who treats his father and mother with
contempt.
Which one is that one?
Fifth.
Quite way down the list, isn't it? What happened to number one? What happened to number three? What happened to number four? All of a sudden now we're jumping to... So what do you think that Moses is trying to say, the priorities, how God is looking at things now? Sometimes we think the Ten Commandments are in our order because the Deuteronomy, they're different, a little different order, but not that radically different than Exodus. But we see one of those stones would have to say something about an image, right? One of those stones has to say something about honor your father and mother. But he doesn't say that. He says, cursed be he who. Is that a teaching? Is that a commandment? Wait a minute.
Statue.
The people will say amen.
Statue.
They will carry it out. They are saying, this is what you're telling. This is the Torah. This is the teaching. And it says, you will have no graven image in secret. What are you supposed to do about that? Curse him. How do you curse him? Oh,
explosive.
Blankety blank you. So what we say? No, it means like you're going to be hung on a tree.
Yeah, curses
he who hangs on a tree. And when the people say amen, they're agreeing they will carry it out. So this is one of those teachings. You understand what I'm saying? And then what about cursing your mother or your father? Guess what happens? You get hung on a tree. Why? Because the people said, amen. I agree with it. I'll accept it. It's one of those rules and regulations which God has said, I want you to do this. Now there's 12 of them. Very fascinating. One for each tribe. So each tribe would have had to have, one, the leadership of each tribe would have had to carve into that stone these statements. So when we look at this thing about cursed be he, then we have to say, okay, we can curse him, we can damn him, we can pollute him. But that's not what it really is referring to, because curses he who hangs on a tree. Because we're talking death sentence here. Right? We're not talking of a blessing and a cursing, as we use in modern terminology. We're using it point. What's the third one? Curses he who moves his neighbor's landmark. That's a strange one, isn't it?
Not really.
Number. Your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Well, it's related to
it's what?
Stealing. Because if you move their boundary mark, you're stealing land from that person.
You got it. That's way down the list, right?
Yeah.
Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, something on this. So God's not in order. He says, this is how you are to live. Not which one of them is more important than the other. Not in here. Be hung on a tree if you move the landmark. And the people said, yeah, we agree with that one. Amen. Cursed is the one who makes a blind to wander off the road. Which commandment is that one? Which one of the Ten Commandments does that fulfill? Now, why would he say this? I mean, we haven't seen that written in the Ten Commandments, right? But we have seen it written in our scriptures. We've gone through from even in the book of Deuteronomy. We say, you will not put a stumbling block in front of a blind man. Sorry, what? I guess you could pull that one in there, yeah?
Yeah.
You could pull that one in there. That's kind of fascinating. Anyway, look, well, we have 12 here, not 10. Yes.
Murder.
Moses what?
The one about leading a blind man astray.
Oh.
Because in Proverbs it says that someone who bears false witness against someone is has a murderous intent in his heart.
That's a good one.
Because also Messiah said that if you hate someone, it's as if you're trying to kill him. And, you know,
lead a blind man, you want to do harm to him.
Yeah.
You want to injure him. You want to do something evil to him.
I mean, even if you're sitting there, quote, playing a joke on someone,
yeah,
you know, the blind man is depending on you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're making a fool.
100%, yeah. You're making, Ellie.
Well, also, a God that says, if you find a bird, take care of the little baby birds and the mother, don't hurt the mother. If you've got a God like that, that says take care of the helpless, a blind man is helpless.
Yeah. But you see what we're looking at here now? You know, so you say, what was written on those stones? Well, the people said, amen, to these statements. And there was 12 of them, because he's one for each one of the tribes. Right? So it was more than just 10, it was actually 12. Next one. Cursed is the one who prevents justice, or perverse justice, due to a stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Now, see, that's not one of the Ten Commandments, but it's in the book of Deuteronomy, isn't it? Now, where would we cover this at? Perverse justice. Now, sometimes if we think a stranger, we think, well, who cares about his life? It's more important that we protect ourselves and let the stranger do time for something he didn't do. And you're perverting justice. Now, it's interesting, he says perverting justice. So, a decision had been made in a court. Right? Justice must be carried out. Right? If you pervert the justice, and there's three categories, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Not the orphan. Motherless, whether. A motherless one is not listed. Just a fatherless one. That's an interesting little curse, right? But the people said, amen. We agree. We will carry it out. It's not God will carry it out. We will carry it out. And so sometimes when you say a prayer and you end it with amen, you're going to be asking God either to carry it out or you're agreeing with God, you will carry it out. Right? It will be. It will be. Go to the next one. Curses the one who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. Well, that's, we can say that's committed adultery, but that's even a worse one here, right?
It's still not honoring your father, brother.
But see, these are important 12 things, which we sometimes read it as a curse, and we don't really understand to a degree. This is the issues that Moses is expressing very strongly just prior to his death and just prior as they go into the promised land. It was on the 11th month, by the way, of the year he said this. Or was it 12th month? I'll have to be back at it. No, because they mourned him for 30 days. So it was 11th month he said this. Curses the one who lies with any animal. That sounds awful gross. I'm by myself to thinking about it, but guess what he's supposed to do? Hang them on a tree. You're not supposed to try to understand his what do we call that modern terminology?
Intent.
No, his preference. Is that what it is?
Sexual preference.
Sexual preference, that's what the word is.
Orientation.
Orientation, sexual orientation. Because sometimes sexual orientation includes, oh, my father's wife. Well, that won't work with God. Can't play games with God. See, can't have those things. We know what the Word of God says. Now, man, that's one of those stones up there. It says that. Would you? But picture yourself, if you were back here in those days, you walk by Mount Gable, and you see those up there. Boy, you know, it's a constant reminder. Not only how you should act, but what you should do when this takes place. Because you agreed to it. Right? Okay. Curses the one who lies with his mother-in-law. He gets hung on a tree. And all people said what?
Amen.
Amen. We agree? We'll carry it out. Curses the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. That's kind of interesting terminology. What do you think, Jeff?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's kind of interesting about curses anyone who sleeps with his mother-in-law.
Oh.
Because, you know, that would be obviously the wife or connected to your father.
Correct.
And if I'm not mistaken...
No. And your mother-in-law, that'd be your wife's mother.
No, your wife's
mother.
Your wife's
mother.
Yeah.
Mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law. Yeah. Like, you better not mess around with her mama. But that's what that boiled down to.
Can you imagine somebody messing up their life like that?
Well, look. Movies talk about it constantly.
Well, it was happening to
it's a glorification of today's world in the movies. Remember David's not quite like that, but what was that movie some years ago called The Graduate?
Yeah, we never saw it, but we heard about it.
Never saw it.
But it had to do with the woman having a relationship with the future mother-in-law, having a relationship with the future son-in-law. Guess what? I think that was it, wasn't it? The Graduate? I can't remember. It was one of the weird movies those days, huh?
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. I think that's where that song came out. Where are you, Mrs. Robinson? Something like that. Is that what?
Oh,
yeah. Huh?
That was Dustin Hoffman.
I don't know who it was. I didn't go see it.
This is this thing about the mother-in-law and all that. That's basically what happened to Absalom in the end. Because he slept with, remember with the concubines? He went and slept with his father's concubines.
Yeah.
He got hung by his hair. And it's right.
That's
yeah. But that wasn't carried out by the people. That wasn't carried out by the people. That's just where God brought it about, I would assume. But he was killed. Someone killed him.
Yeah, Joab.
Because David wouldn't deal with Absalom.
All right, yeah, Absalom. Yeah. I knew somebody did. All right. So you see all these stones up there. You see these things written on them. Don't think about the Ten Commandments. Think about what it says cursive here. Okay? Because that's what probably more than likely was written there rather than just the Ten Commandments. Because the Ten Commandments doesn't narrow down what the curse really is. But these do, don't they? Yes.
I wonder what the significance of delineating each one of these perversions is.
You know? Exactly what it is. It's perversion. God despises it.
Yeah, but I mean, why delineate each of them? I mean, can't you just say, you know, if you're a sick son, you know.
He doesn't delineate homosexuality in here, though, which is interesting, because that's in a lot of other places.
But he's got bestiality, but not homosexuality.
Now here's one, it says, cursed be the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. Yes. Mafia?
Yeah.
Hitman, as they call them today?
What about 24 that attacks his neighbor secretly?
Yeah.
Is that just trying to, at night?
You're going to attack him to kill him, but you kill him secretly. You attack him off. It's like we in the old West says, don't shoot a man in the back.
Right.
That's kind of like doing it in secret. All right. That's why the old West, they said you got to face the guy. You don't attack him behind his back. You don't shoot something in the back. What was that relative of mine?
That's James.
Not Frank. Jesse James. Remember he was shot in the back? The guy got a reward. That's killing, slaying someone secretly, unaware. Don't catch him off guard.
That's taking a bribe.
He's taking a bribe. He did. He got a big, huge, giant reward for it. Wanted dead or alive. Well, he killed him, but he killed him behind his back. And that's why they don't really look too very kindly to the person who shot him in those days. Today, we probably think nothing of it.
Not very often.
Well, I think it also goes back to the idea of that the people who actually make the accusation that leads to the conviction are the ones that actually have to carry it out.
Yeah.
Versus, you know,
that's true. That's true.
The anonymous executioner with the hood, or its modern equivalent of the blanks in the gun, or the several different buttons, and who knows which one actually works.
But the 26th verse is very fascinating. Did you catch what it says?
Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this Torah.
Of observing them, of doing them, of carrying them out. Because you see what happens? He's laid the bottom one down to the biggest one. You all agreed. You all said, Amen. Now, since if you don't carry it out, guess what? Amen. You know what I'm saying? If you don't carry out what you just got through agreeing with, cursed is one who does not confirm. Agree with, say yes to the words of this law by observing them. Amen. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? There's no out. Pretty heavy law, isn't it? So when you think about the cursing, the next chapter is about blessings, partial blessings, only half the chapter. When you think about those 12 stones, you know, think about what it says here in this chapter to set the priority of how an individual person, keep what I'm saying now, these are individual conducts on an individual person case. God first sets them on an individual purpose, an individual conduct. This is what you as an individual person must do. The next chapter has to do with the nation of Israel. The blessing and the cursing does of the nations of Israel. So there's a separation between these two chapters. Now remember the beginning of the chapter 29, 27, what does it say? Let me see the very first.
I command you today. Keep all the commandments.
Remember, one mountain was for what?
Blessing.
Blessings. And the other one for cursing. So he says, in my one hand I hold death, in the next hand I'll hold life. I want you to choose life, but make your choice.
Yeah. So you go to the mountain that looks desolate and unattractive, and that's where your blessings are.
That's where the blessings are.
You go to the place that looks nice, and where everyone would want to go, that's where the curses are.
Yes. It's kind of an odd way, but it's how God works, right?
Yeah, but that's really kind of boils down to the whole idea of deception.
No, there is, because why? Because we as human beings will do one thing. Sometimes when we are blessed with an awful lot of wealth or prosperity or goodness, guess what we think?
God loves us.
God loves us, right. And the person over here that has got blind and weak and not very healthy, the one that's kind of like, you know, barely making life, oh, God cursed him. Because that is how we act, Right? It's how we think, how we perceive, how we put pictures together. God does it. God only looks at the actions, well, it's just the heart and the mind and the actions. You're going to be very wealthy, like Abraham was, and be blessed. But you're looking at the actions. Or you could be very poor, like Lazarus. Remember him? Lazarus, the rich man? Mm-hmm. The rich man looked like he was blessed by God. But he wasn't. So we can't judge, oh, this mountain over here is full of all the wonderful greens. That must be the best of the two. So we take that one. And God said, no, I want you over here. Here's where the blessings are at. That means you have to rely completely upon God. And what you do there? You take your animals over there. You do whole offerings over there. You do your minha offerings there. You do your thanksgiving offerings there. You give your shalom offerings there in that mountain. Everything that looks like it should be the other way around, it isn't. When the Israelites left the plush, gorgeous land of Goshen, did God take them into the land of milk and honey? No. Where did he take them? He took them to a very, very desolate spot out there in the middle of almost nowhere in Saudi Arabia. And they had complained for bad water, the good water, the bad water, the good water. No food, bad food. Didn't like the manna. Didn't like this. Didn't like that. They wanted something else deep besides them. They didn't have leeches, no onions, no nothing. Right? Yeah, all they did was complain. Well, God wanted to find out what? What did he do that for? Why did he say that? To test you out, to see whether or not you will do what I want you to do. All right? Any questions about chapter 27? I think it's very interesting, though, if you take some time, just read chapter 27 once in a while and see the curses. And just see them. Because, see, that's what you have to do. Because it said you were blessed, but you as an individual, this is how you live. Therefore, you won't be cursed if you do these things. Right? If you obey the law, follow the statutes, and do the judgments. I have a while left, don't I? 10 minutes? Or we end at 2:30, right?
Whenever you want in. Yeah, we ran early today.
Well, that's good.
So in God's eyes, a person who is cursed, and upon the peasant cursed, then he has no chance in heaven.
That's not what the Torah does say. But
if there's forgiveness or repentance, even though he has to suffer
the loss,
which would be his life, then he would have.
Yeah, so what's so fascinating with go ahead.
A good example of that is Israel's history. I mean, Israel got cursed how many times? Yet God still is always offering the thing out there of teshuva. Always
able to
always
return.
Looking for teshuva. And in the end, Israel will teshuva, no matter how many curses have come through Israel's history.
Which is the next chapter is all about, by the way. It's the house of Israel's curses, well, not the individual. Well, yes.
Where does it say, though a man be a righteous man all his life, and at the end
Ezekiel.
Be unrighteous, I will forget all his righteousness.
Ezekiel 33.
Yep.
Ezekiel 33. It's very fascinating. But that's a different concept, but I mean, different story, but we're still looking at what God is looking at. It's what does God want of you?
Obedience.
No, that's not what it says. What does he want of you? It's in Amos. This I want you to do, O Israel.
Mercy, justice, and walk humbly with your God.
Yes. Simplicity of matter. You know, I want you to do well. I want you to do what's pleasing. I want you to do what's good. I don't want you to do that what's harmful and evil and wicked. Yes.
He also says, who must stand before God? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. It's not real complicated.
Yeah. Well, hands meaning not what you do, how you live, how you act, and everything else that you put instituted into your life. Let's go to chapter 28.
Deuteronomy 28. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in, and you will be blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruits of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the county, and you'll be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and rebuke in everything you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and come to sudden ruin because of the evil you have done in forsaking him. The Lord will plague you with diseases until he has destroyed you from the land you are entering to possess. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever and inflammation, with scorching heat and drought, with blight and mildew, which will plague you until you perish. The sky over your head will be bronze, the ground beneath you iron. The Lord will turn the rain of your country into dust and powder. It will come down from the skies until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven, and you will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. Your carcasses will be food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt and with tumors, festering soils, and the itch from which you cannot be cursed. Cured. The Lord will afflict you with madness, blindness, and confusion of mind. At midday, you will grope like a blind man in the dark. You will be unsuccessful in everything you do. Day after day, you will be oppressed and robbed with no one to rescue you. You will be pledged to be married to a woman, but another will take her and ravish her. You will build a house, but you will not live in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not even begin to enjoy its fruit. Your ox will be slaughtered before your eyes, but you will eat none of it. Your donkey will be forcefully taken from you and will not be returned. The sheep will be given to your enemies, and no one will rescue them. Your sons and daughters will be given to another nation, and you will wear out your eyes watching for them day after day, powerless to lift a hand. A people that you do not know will eat what your land and labor produce, and you will have nothing but cruel oppression all your days. The sights you see will drive you mad. The Lord will afflict your knees and legs with painful boils that cannot be cured, spreading from the soles of your feet to the top of your head. The Lord will drive you and the king you set over you to a nation unknown to you and to your fathers. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone. You will become a thing of horror and an object of scorn and ridicule to all the nations where the Lord will drive you. You will sow much seed in the field, but you will harvest little, because locusts will devour it. You will plant vineyards and cultivate them, but you will not drink the wine or gather the grapes, because the worms will eat them. You will have olive trees throughout your country, but you will not use the oil, because the olives will drop off. You will have sons and daughters, but you will not keep them, because they will go into captivity. Swarms of locusts will take over all your trees and the crops of your land. The alien who lives among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. He will lend to you, but you will not lend to him. He will be the head, but you will be the tail. All these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe his commands and decrees he gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Therefore, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the ends of the earth, like an eagle swooping down, a nation whose language you will not understand, a fierce-looking nation without respect for the old or pity for the young. They will devour the young of your livestock, the crops of your land, until you are destroyed. They will leave you no grain, new wine, or oil, nor any calves of your herds or lambs of your flocks, until you are ruined. They will lay siege to all the cities throughout your land until the high fortified walls in which you trust fall down. They will besiege all the cities throughout the land the Lord your God has given you. Because of the suffering that your enemy will inflict on you during the siege, you will eat the fruit of the womb, the flesh of the sons and daughters the Lord your God has given you. Even the most gentle and sensitive man among you will have no compassion on his own brother or the wife he loves or his surviving children. And he will not give to one of them any of the flesh of his children that he is eating. It will be all he has left because of the suffering your enemy will inflict on you during the siege of all your cities. The most gentle and sensitive woman among you, so sensitive and gentle that she would not venture to touch the ground with the sole of her foot, will begrudge the husband she loves and her own son and daughter, the afterbirth of her womb and the children she bears. For she intends to eat them secretly during the siege and in the distress that your enemy will inflict on you in your cities. If you do not carefully follow all the words of this law, which are written in this book, and do not revere the glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, the Lord will send fearful plagues on you and your descendants, harsh and prolonged disasters, and severe and lingering illnesses. He will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt that you dreaded, and they will cling to you. The Lord will also bring on you every kind of sickness and disaster not recorded in this book of the law until you are destroyed. You who were as numerous as the stars of the sky will be left but few in number because you did not obey the Lord your God. Just as it pleased the Lord to make you prosper and increase in number, so it will please him to ruin and destroy you. You will be uprooted from the land you are entering to possess. Then the Lord will scatter you among the nations from one end of the earth to the other. There you will worship other gods, gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. Among those nations you will find no repose, no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. You will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both night and day, never sure of your life. In the morning, you will say, if only it were evening. And in the evening, if only it were morning. Because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights your eyes will see. The Lord will send you back in ships to Egypt on a journey I said you should never make again. There you will offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but no one will buy you.
Remember in chapter 27? All the people, the ones on Mount Gibal, Mount Gerizim, had to say, Amen. Now remember he said that I will have blessings and cursings. Now, let's go back to chapter 27 for just a minute. This is verse 11. Moses commanded the people on the same day, saying, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you cross over Jordan. And there's the tribes. And these shall be Mount Gibal to curse. And these are the ones. So we the first thing we see in 27 is the cursings. Now at 28 we see beginning of it what? Tremendous amount of blessings for the entire nation. Right? Now what's the stipulation for them? What they do?
Keep
the law.
Do what? Keep the law. They do all the words of the law.
Yep. And what's happened is he says, I will put you above all nations. You'll be higher than any other. You'll be more important than any other. You'll be more... And they will come to point to, it says verse 10, they will call, and all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and you shall, and they shall be afraid of you. What does that mean? People are called by Shem, the name. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You'll be blessed, but you'll be also terrified of you because you're coming with the name of the Lord. That's what he said. Now we know when the Messiah comes, that comes from the Psalm, comes from 108, I think it is. He says, do not consider it's going to be a blessing for you, you who are against me. It will be a curse to you. And it will be a blessing to those who want to see me come. And so that means the nation of Israel would be a nation, other countries would be frightened to go to war against. Not because that nation of Israel is mightier, powerful, strong, because of their own. But because God brought them about, and the whole world will know the reason why they are strong is because the name of the Lord is upon them. Right? We in our country, we used to call our country, we don't do it anymore. Our country started out with being established as being a, what kind of country?
God-fearing nation.
Yeah. God-fearing nation. The first president of the United States did what? Dedicated this nation to God. And as time went by, we are facing now the world. We are the strongest power in the face of the earth. But guess what? Start trusting in your power. What's going to happen? It's all going to be taken away. I will curse you. All right. But all these wonderful blessings. So over on the mountain, now with all this wonderful, you know, lush land, the blessings were come from. So there is a picture between these two mountains. One's barren, and the other one is a blessing. First thing he addresses is the cursing. Then he turns around, he addresses the blessings. And then as these blessings go on, he comes down and he says, what else has happened if you do not follow through? That's horrible curses for the nation. Horrible curses for the people. Now, notice one thing different about 28. There was what? What's missing is very prominent in chapter 28, which is not prominent in chapter 27, rather, very prominent, and what was not prominent in chapter 28.
One thing I noticed is that in 27, you know, they would say a particular curse or whatever, and the people were to respond with an amen. But when he goes to the blessings, there's no amen.
There is
and
no
also
amen.
When he goes even further into more curses,
well, there is no amen. Amen.
There's no amen at all.
So it tells you the 28 is what God's going to carry out. All right? Because the blessing has to come from God, and the final cursings of his nation, the people, it will come from God. The first one is that you're supposed to be doing these things if the person is found doing these things. However, if you don't, remember what was the 12th curse? Cursed is he who does not
keep the words
of the Torah, whole Torah, whole teachings. So I'm kind of addressing the whole nation. Okay, Israel, this is the blessings you're going to get, and this is the cursings you're going to get, and this is going to come from me. He says, I will send a plague upon you, and Dad Jeff read, from a countries that, or from areas of diseases that you've never heard of. This is not written in this book of Deuteronomy. Yes.
But it says, cursed is the man, or the Lord, observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes which I command you today. Didn't you just say the whole Torah?
Verse what?
Verse 15?
Yeah.
What were you saying? Because all these plagues and whatever, wasn't that for those, kind of like the, these were just the ones that he spoke about being cursed. Cursed if you don't do this and this. He didn't name everything in the Torah.
Remember, 28 deals with God's blessings and cursings. 27 is supposed to be you instituting the law. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so it is all the Torah then in 28.
Right.
Okay. So he did it. Did he command it that day, everything in that day?
Oh, that doesn't mean in 24-hour period. That means this time. At this period of time, Moses said this. Whether it took him a day or 2 days or 3 days, we don't know. How far the message, how long it took to get the message to the rest of the people of Israel. I imagine it took a little more than a day or two. But it doesn't say. This is the first day of the 11th month. This is what it began to speak. All right? Whether it took them a little longer for that message to go out to all the tribes is another unknown fact. But the word meaning today or this day does not mean, oh, this 24-hour period. It means this time period. Yes.
Well, also, wouldn't that be, if you've got the first commandment that says, no other gods before me, and you're supposed to do what he says, wouldn't that automatically mean all of the stuff I'm telling you is binding?
Well, because he says here in the last, cursed is anyone who, no, where is that one looking at now? Very last one. Cursed is anyone who is not confirmed that word written by this law by observing them. And in chapter 28, it says in this book of the law, where are we at now? You ever seen that? I forgot where it's at. Should have highlighted it. Because it has to do with the last of the curses, bring on curses to you that were not written in the law?
15 says his
commandments.
16?
Statutes
and his commandments.
That's it. Well, that's not what I'm looking for. I should have highlighted that one. Sending forth a plague. Yes, I missed it. I lost the location. What was that?
59, maybe?
Oh. 58.
58, yeah. No.
All that are written in the book. You do not carefully observe all the words of this law that are written in the book.
58? Yeah. Oh, all the law is written in the book, yeah. So book of, or this book of the law, meaning the book of Moses. Or the 12th chapter, 12th book of Moses. I mean, the book of Deuteronomy, is what I'm trying to say. That's what it's referring to, book of Deuteronomy. Wrong book. Or this scroll. All right. Any more questions?
Deuteronomy is a recap of all the first four, isn't it?
Sorry, what?
Deuteronomy is a recap of the first four, so it really does mean the whole Torah then, doesn't it? No? I mean, it didn't in detail take it apart. But
actually, Deuteronomy is a whole lot more in depth. I mean, there's so many laws written in the book of Deuteronomy than there are in any other book. And they're specifically laid out. And that word of statute of judgments is used more in the book of Deuteronomy than any other book. He actually goes in more detail in Numbers and Exodus. They are the events leading up to, but the book of Deuteronomy has a more of a detail. He had two things God wrote up there about him. Okay? Twice he was on the mountain. First time on the mountain, he learned not only the Ten Commandments, but he also had the Levitical priesthood and the tabernacle being built and all that kind of stuff. Remember? The second time, when he came back down again, remember he had to go back up again for 90 days? And then God said, I'm going to show you who I am and what I'm really like. And so he did. In those things, Moses picked up the other parts of the Torah or the parts of the laws. That's why they're expounded on and worded differently in Book of Deuteronomy than they are in Exodus or in Leviticus or in Numbers. They're worded differently. All right? They're not separate, they're just worded differently. And they're more in detail, more in clarification of what he refers to. So it's not just a repetition, it is an expansion of. It's like when Jesus said, think not I've come to destroy the law of the prophets, but I come to carry them out. Bring them about. Because if anybody ever said amen, he would have said amen, all right? Hey, we'll be carried out. Okay? So now we see these two mountains. I want you to keep in mind, one was a blessing. What mountain was it that was a blessing? Gerizim.
Gerizim.
That's where the mountain where all the blessings were. And so the mountain where all the blessings were, yes, it was a wonderful plush mountain. It was a promise from God. I want you to look. I'm going to bless you. With a mountain with a tremendous amount of your cattle. You have plenty of cattle. You have plenty of money. You have plenty of power. You have plenty of safety. You'll be blessed beyond means. You know, like this is a sower. The reaper overcomes the sower. Is that what it is in Proverbs or in the prophets? You'll be so overwhelmingly blessed, you won't be able to consume all the things that I'm going to bless you with. And that's what that other mountain over here was all about. He wanted to show them two opposite sides. Yes, that's what happens to you if you don't respond, but this will be a blessing to you if you respond. Guess what happened to Israel? They didn't respond very well. God, plenty of years for them to be able to learn how to respond, right? He gave them and taught them and had compassion upon them. There's an awful lot of horrible things on that back part of that cursing, you know, where people begin to eat their own kids. That's really a horrible thing. That's cannibalism. I do not know if that happened in Israel's history. I do not know. Do you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, it actually happened in Israel's history.
Josephus records it during the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD, and also there's evidence of it happening during the Babylonian siege.
Okay. Probably. I'll take your word for it because I haven't researched that point, but I assume that probably is true because it's probably realistically real. And we're coming down to the end times now. This will be a great blessing supposed to come for Israel at the very end. And so I think we're heading for it, but it's a major correction has to happen first.
Well, that's why, you know, when it talks about, like in Zechariah, you've got two-thirds of the of Jerusalem
that's
know,
right.
going down and being destroyed, and you get ideas in, what is it?
One by pestilence, one by sword, and one by fleeing.
Yeah, and like Daniel chapter, is it 11, I think it is, where it talks about the massive shaking and testing and persecution that's going to come down as well. You know, you get this idea that it's going to parallel and be much, much worse than what was faced in 70 AD and also in the Babylonian.
Well, it probably was very much during, what was that Greek ruler?
Antiochus.
Yeah. It was horrible during that period of time in their life.
Well.
That was real bad for them. All right, so I will call it quits.